Welcome to Cut Two, a podcast from the Writers Guild of Canada. In each episode, we focus on a particular subject relevant to Canadian screenwriters and their art. Whether it's an individual and their body of work, an aspect of the craft, a deep dive into the writing of a particular television series or film, or a pressing issue in the industry today. In this episode, we cut to the making of Hello Again, a CBC gem series about the whirlwind romance between a line cook and a medical resident that turns sour and a mischievous supernatural girl who gives them a second chance at love. I'm Motion. I'm a writer, producer, and host for today's episode. Joining me are Natalie Young Lai, executive producer, showrunner, co-writer, and writer of Hello Again, and Leonard Chan, the writer of episode 107 and 108, and Leif Ramsaran, who wrote episode 105 and 106. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks
for having us.
Love that intro. I just want you to intro everything.
So great to have you and to be here with your amazing selves. I thought we can start off with just going around, introducing yourself and your role on the show. And one thing that you loved about working on Hello Again. And Natalie, why don't we start with you?
Thanks, Motion. I'm the co-creator, showrunner, and I co-wrote and wrote episodes on the show. One thing that I loved about working on the show was just working with all the people involved, from the writing to the directing and producing and the crew. It was such an amazing set of people that were brought together for this.
My name's Leif. So I was writing episode 105 and 106 on Hello Again. I guess something that I loved about this was I did a bunch of watching YouTube videos about Instagram chefs and food influencers. And I watched so many hours of it. And now I like to this day, I'm subscribed to a few people. And I got to be like, this is for work. This is work. All these food documentaries.
Love it.
My name is Leonard. I wrote episodes 107 and 108. And I mean, to echo what Natalie said, it was just really fun working with all the people. And especially, you know, everybody, you know, had similar cultural backgrounds, which is not usually the case in writers' rooms. So we could speak and not have to explain what we mean, you know, like when certain cultural things come up that we just want to put in the show, it's like, we don't have to say, this is why. It's like, no, we all knew why.
I love it. Yeah. And we really want to get even more into that as we go through our conversation. But I thought maybe we could start off with, you know, a little bit about your origin stories and the beginnings of this particular series. Hello Again. Natalie, you're a writer and director. You're founder of BIPOC TV and Film, which is a grassroots organization that advocates for meaningful representation of Black and Indigenous and people of color in front and behind the camera. And it would be great to know, how did Hello Again, because you were also a creator, how did it come to be and what's its origin story?
Yeah, it's actually Simu's origin story, not mine. It was Simu's idea. I had actually worked with Simu a couple years prior to that. I was the screenwriting mentor at Real Asian Film Festival. Mm-hmm. They do a youth summer filmmaking program. And Simu was one of the participants. So I had a chance to like look at the script that he was writing, which is like this cool kind of action thing. Gave him notes, kind of took him through the writing process from like beat sheet to like first draft and second draft and polish. And then a few years later, he was on Tim's and he, between seasons, he had pitched the story to CBC or a version of the story to CBC Gem, and they had put it into development. And at that point, they asked him to team up with a more senior writer. So he brought me on board and we kind of went from there. It was originally more of a K-drama thing, and then it became rom-com mixed in with supernatural as we were talking about the world and, you know, the messages that we wanted to get across.
Wow, that's an amazing beginning. So you were there almost from the inception of his concept, you know, and working with him to bring it to life, and then had a chance to bring others into the fold, into the writing room, as we would say, to realize it. And I wondered, you know, we talked about it being a rom-com and the different ways that the story could have been told. Leonard, you're a writer, you're a comedian, you're from Toronto, Canada, and we've heard you everywhere from The Debaters to SiriusXM, and you've had some time to spend time in the writer's room of the international hit Kim's Convenience. So how did your experience as a comedian in the writer's room of Kim's Convenience prepare you for working on Hello Again?
Well, it just helped me really slide into my role as comic relief. being a comedian, especially when writing, you know, a rom-com, it helps with the calm part of the rom-com. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a comedian and I have a lot of experience in front of audiences telling jokes, I kind of, what's helped me is I have a better understanding of what's probably going to be funny. Like, there's no guarantee, but I was like, but this is a joke. There is a setup. There is a punchline. This is technically a joke and it should work. You know, that sort of thing. So that's kind of what, you know, doing comedy helps with, but I, you know, there's still so much to learn craft-wise in both comedy and writing and all that stuff. And just to meld all that together. And it's part of the journey.
Yeah, the timing, the way that the comedy is woven throughout it is really great. And, you know, even thinking additionally about the writing process and the experience as a writer, Leif, you're also a writer that's been striving to create thoughtful comedies, female driven in some cases or in many cases, and you've written and produced short films that have been screened in festivals in the US and in Canada. This series represents a lot of firsts. You have the actor's first romantic leads, Simu's first as a co-creator of a writer's series, and your first experience in a writer's room, as a writer in a writer's room, as a writer who has written for short film. How was your experience transitioning into the realm of the writer's room? And what would you share with other writers entering the writer's room for the first time?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the nature of this, because it, like you said, it was a lot of firsts for a lot of people. And it was, I think that made it a really open process, which is great. Like, I was so, you know, happy to be there and grateful to Natalie for bringing me on without having had experience working in a room before. So that first day when you show up and you're just like, I'm going to start talking and I hope this makes sense. And I hope I'm like doing it right. I think that's basically what you got to do on your first day. And if you're fortunate, you'll be in a room where people are accommodating to that and welcoming. And, in terms of advice, I just think, like, since then, having worked in a few other rooms too, it's like I think one of the biggest things I've learned is you just have to sort of show up and suss things out first, like really try to read the room, and then start talking. I'm not sure if I did that on the show. I can't remember. I feel like we only had 3 days or 2 days or something. So we were just like, go. So I was very fortunate that, yeah, everyone was kind in that one. But generally, I think a good piece of advice is to wait it out and see what's going on and then start talking.
Yeah. I think every writer who's gone from writing for yourself, writing in your own mind, writing in your own hole or, you know, writing cave, and then now going into this type of space could use that advice, you know, and find ways to get in where you fit in, right? Mm-hmm. You know, having somewhere to fit in is really important, which is the production, which is the writer's room, which is the actual series. And this project was conceived, but then later had to be produced during the pandemic, which I'm sure was a challenge in itself. Before all of that, though, you had to get a green light. Natalie, what for other writers out there are some of the main steps, maybe four or five main steps that it took for you and Simu to go from concept to green light?
Yeah. I mean, Simu had a little bit of a Bible and like an early draft one, which we then kind of dug in further and developed further. So we really talked about the season and then wrote kind of a season overview slash Bible, where we're talking about like, what is the season arc? What happens every episode? A little synopsis of every episode. And then a little kind of mini biography of the main characters and how we saw the series intertwining. And part of that writing of that Bible was also making sure that the Bible had the tone of the show so that as the execs were reading it, they could feel it. And then when they put us into development, it was like the first four scripts to write. And so that was, you know, we broke each episode, and then we went through, like, we did the outline and then the first draft and we sent it in and got some notes. And I think it was when we got to the notes phase of first draft, then CBC asked, you know, to have a call with us. And then we're like, either this is a good call or it's a bad call. And it ended up being a good call, because at that point they were like super excited and they said that they wanted to greenlight it.
Wow, that must have been an exciting day, you know, to know that you're about to see, you for you and Simu, that you're about to see something that you had been working on for a long time actually go into the writer's room, go into pre-production, production, and post, and actually get to see it on the screen, which I think is everyone's dream. But you also played another role, both as co-creator and one of the initial writers. You were also the runner of the room. You show ran Hello Again. Was this your first time show running a small room?
It was. Yeah. And, you know, I had been on Corner with you. And, you know, we had the amazing Morwen Brebner to kind of who like just modeled this amazing way of show running and kind of making the room feel like really open and safe. And I was trying to do that. I mean, I remember when Morwen said to us, like, if you ever feel like you need to talk about anything that comes up into the room. And so like, I tried to do that speech and I think I forgot it the first 5 minutes and then said it like midway through the day. But it was really a different thing to be like, okay, how do I want to like make these writers feel welcome and like their voice is important, and I want to kind of like get all like the goodness from their brains because we only have a limited time. But yeah, it was really cool to see like what other writers can bring to your vision.
Well, part of a showrunner's job or responsibility is finding the writers. How did you build up the room and what were you looking for in writers for this series?
I really wanted to find comedy writers because I feel like I'm not funny. And so I really... And I also wanted to give a chance to like new writers, especially writers of color. And I actually met both Leonard and Leaf through the BIPOC kids TV writing bootcamp that we were doing. And I had like heard them talking in the sessions and heard their pitches and knew that they were really funny. And I had read some of their earlier takes on their ideas and scripts for kids TV and thought that they would just bring extra extra funny and extra perspective that I didn't have.
Well, it's really great to see that, you know, doing workshops, going to panels, joining any type of residency programs and stuff are ways to build up future teams, that you meet future collaborators and partners that you'll end up working with in the future. So everyone out there, keep on doing that. And thanks for BIPOC for helping to advocate on that type of programming. And, you know, I was thinking a bit about a quote that I heard from Simu, where he said that he was craving a love story that was unapologetically Asian. And you have also said and shared that that as a team, you wove in cultural touch points that spoke to your lived experiences. As a viewer and getting to watch the show, it's really great to see how all incorporated cultural touchstones very naturalistically, from everything from a father's altar to the use of language in a story that is really specific, but yet really universal. And for everyone, why was this story important to tell? Maybe Leonard, you can start.
Well, first of all, I think it was just fun. This is a really fun, everybody who I've talked to, all my friends have seen it, they're like, that was just fun. And honestly, I mean, at the end of the day, especially coming out of a pandemic, we could all use a little fun. So I think that was important. But like, I think, a large crux of the story is about the relationship between the main character and his father. Even though it's presented as a rom-com, ultimately that is the relationship that he needs to repair. So for me, having an Asian dad, having some experience with that, and having a lot of parallels with my dad, as we're seeing in the series, it was very, I think that's an interesting relationship to explore that it doesn't get explored enough. And then especially when you throw in the whole aspect of, I mean, spoiler alert, his impending mortality, let's say, with the whole time travel thing, then it's really, we weren't trying to be super philosophical. Again, we're just focusing on the fun, but there is a thought of, these relationships, we're only on Earth like a certain amount of time. Time is our most valuable asset, and that's constantly running out. So without without a little ghost girl to send us back, we kind of have to do what we can with the relationships we have. So I think that's what the story really is about. It's about, seeing what's important before it's too late.
Right. Yeah. Change and time and all of these cycles. How about you, Leaf?
Yeah, I'll just piggyback off that. I do think the parental relationship was really special in this story. I think personally, I have a similar thing with my parents, where cooking is our thing. Like, it's the mm-hmm. thing that we can talk about without fighting. It's the thing that really brings us together. And I think that is, it's a universal experience, but it's also an Asian thing. And so, yeah, it's it was really meaningful for me to be able to weave that into a love story.
Asians show love with food.
I know, exactly. That's one thing we could all relate to.
Right.
I think if we had been in in-person room, we would have been eating, ordering in a lot, and we just couldn't do it over Zoom.
Yeah. And I also have to say that with the food in the show, so I was watching the rough cuts, and I'm just just so hungry all the time. And then the part of the viewing party, they had all that food, mm-hmm. all the dim sum was there, and I was so excited.
So yeah, because you're also connecting love and food, and even the sensual side of love. Food can be very sensual, the way they're making the dim sum and they're, and handling the food and creating with so much love, as well as tradition. It was really, really a great way of showing the themes within this story. And you know, the story is told. It's a big story, but it's told in a short form. You know, this is a digital series. Every episode is short. It's perfect for binging. Story-wise, you all do so much with a limited amount of time, really masterfully. And Natalie, I know you moved between working in a large room in one-hour dramas like on Coroner to a series with nine 10-minute episodes. What did you find were the pros, or maybe a pro and a challenge as a writer and producer in working in the short form or the short series form?
It was really challenging. I think, you know, I've been working on Coroner, and your brain and your mind is trained to think in five acts and towards the act breaks. Mm-hmm. And so then to be like, how do I tell a story in a short amount of time is super hard. And it was all about like, what is the essential part of the story so that it doesn't get lost? Because it's very easy to like go into, you know, we wanted a whole subplot with Dougie, and then that all kind of went to the wayside. And then I had a hard time kind of wrapping my mind around like, what is the act structure for 9 minutes? I don't know. It's like a beginning, a setup, some sort of a twist, and then an end. I don't know. And then, but you need the end to be like hooky. So it was a lot of like mind, trying not to swear, you know, mind bending.
Mind fornication.
Yes.
Yeah. See, that's why I let her say.
Well, they always say like, if you really want to create something poignant, you have to give yourself limits. And that limit of that 8 or 10 minutes forced you to have to get to the heart of the story that you wanted to tell. No frills, no nothing. But at the same time, that's one thing I did notice, is that you always kept us coming back. We always were anticipating what's the next episode. How did you know when to stop the episode? How did you know how to bring us back? Anybody can answer that one.
I mean, it's interesting because like in the pilot, Simon and I like did not agree on like how much story to tell in the pilot, because I felt like we need to spend time with the couple before they break up. And then we're cramming in meet cute, great relationship, breakup all into one. And I was like, it's not going to work. No one's going to care. But then it was like the limitations of the 9 minute. It was like, it was always like asking, what is the good hook to this? And I remember Leif at one point, because we were like trying to figure this out for the entire thing once we had this mini writing room. And I remember Leif like drawing a little time continuum, because we were getting so confused and lost about what time, where we were at. And Leif was able to like chart it out for us.
Yeah,
very much like that scene in Back to the Future 2 where Doc has like the chalkboard and he does the line. He's like, now we're on this timeline, and he's anyway. That was me, and I was like as deranged.
I had a certain Jeremy Baramy thing to it. Everybody's watched The Good Place, but it was just like all over. It was great. It was very helpful.
Yes.
Well, that's actually giving writers some tools for how to, when you are doing a time shifting story, how do you track yourself? You know, it's not just something that it takes a lot of work and a lot of brain work, and it's very complex. You all use quite a few different approaches in telling this story. Like for instance, with the comedy / rom-com element. Throughout the series, you know, you have the beautiful intersection of the comedy, but also with the emotional and the poignant moments, everything from family to work to those dramas, but, you know, all wrapped up in a love story. And especially as we move towards the last parts of the season, Leonard, as a comedian and a writer, how did you and the team work together to achieve that balance of the comedic and the romantic and the dramatic? How did you achieve those comedic moments in the episodes, but also moving within drama and romance? Araya Mangesha and the actor who played Jaden's mom, Grace Armas, mm-hmm. Were particular standouts in delivering what you all had written. So, Leonard, do you have any thoughts?
Ultimately, the drama comes first. Right. You, if you're writing a comedy, like I just write it as a drama, then I just add jokes, and then it's a happy ending. I mean, if it's a comedy, it should be a happy ending. But that's basically it. Right. Like we weren't thinking of like scenes weren't built around jokes. Like scenes were built around what is the emotion that this particular character is feeling in this moment? What is it that they want? What is it that they need? What do they feel emotionally? All that sort of thing. And then even when it comes to just writing my own jokes, like outside of this, like every joke has to have an emotional core to it because that's the thing that audiences are going to relate to. You know, they're not going to know the feeling of being specifically Asian and getting into a car accident and sitting on the side of the road and everybody's walking by thinking, oh yeah, for sure that was them. But, however, that specifically is my experience. However, I could, being unjust or unfair and being angry about certain things like that, mm-hmm. That's relatable. So that's really all it was. Like we just told a story that we felt was relatable, ghost girl and time travel aside. But all these moments that came from our own lives, our own experiences, those are the important moments, and the jokes just kind of come from that. Mm-hmm. Like you don't. Like if you're doing improv, for example, like every scene is supposed to be couched in emotion. Like using a joke to start a scene is the last thing you should do.
Oh, yeah, that's great to know because touch a little bit more on the storytelling aspect in this story. Yes, we do have drama and comedy. There's also love, and there is also the playing with time, as we just started to discuss. The magic realism is another thing. So looking at the time shifting, the magic aspects of the story, the boy meets girl, boy meets gets girl, boy loses girl, then meets the creepy mysterious child who gives him a second chance at love by sending him back in time. Like that alone is something that would make me want to watch and go, what are you doing? How are they going into this story? So I was thinking about Natalie, what was the meaning of the symbolism of the little girl and of the shifts of time? And Leif, as writers or as a writer, what was the experience of incorporating these elements in your writing? Was it challenging to write these different worlds and realms?
I think it was exciting and I think it was interesting. Like, I think it's more fun than writing a grounded, ordinary thing, which is like what I am always talking about doing and loving. Like that's usually what I do, and I'm always like, we need to tell ordinary stories, but it's so fun when you get to do something that has this like extra element in it, because it becomes surprising to you. Like you get to make up the rules of this world, and it just makes, I think, the process more joyful, because you're like kind of like a kid in your imagination being like, what if she could do that? Like what if she had this power and like she was invisible here? Like it's a lot of fun. Like it, I feel like it has been a part of my journey away from like purely banal, like ordinary world stories. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Making up your own rules, which this definitely does. Natalie, you have a thought on that?
When Simu was talking about this kind of magic girl, we kind of got to the point where we're like, I think the girl is their child from the future that comes back. Mm-hmm. And then as we were developing in the writing room with sorry, spoiler, yes. when we were developing it with Leonard and Leaf, and then they added their things about like, when do we see the girl? Like all the good questions that, you know, when you're writing alone or just writing in a bubble, like there are all these things that you can't think of on your own. So that's like the joy of being in a writing room, is that you have other people asking like the real questions you've been avoiding and also figuring out the answers. You know, like I knew that we definitely needed some sort of moment at the end of the pilot to indicate that there was something more to the series, but I just didn't know what it was. And I think it was Leaf who said like, maybe there's this bubble tea that, you know, she can drink backwards.
Yes. Wow. Brilliant. All the small little pieces that come together to make such an amazing a story and approach to the story that you all took. When we're looking at what it covers, what the story covers, hello, again, the themes of time, of second chances, of cycles, but also, like Leonard touched upon, family, also the holding on, what to let go, all coming together really beautifully in the ninth episode or in the finale. Leonard and Leaf, of all the themes that you covered during the series, which one did you connect to and why? And, or if similar to what Leonard started us off with when he spoke about the parent or son relationship, is there a character or situation in the series that you particularly connected to?
For me, anything about time travel, it's always, you know, it brings up the aspect of just time, again, being our most valuable asset and the thing that we none of us have enough of. So that's really, you know, for me, I guess the theme of like learning, right? Because I think like our purpose on life is just to gather as much knowledge as possible. And that's really what our main character had to do, was just learn as he went through these iterations and get better and improving, you know, what he's doing every single time. And like, that's always, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that aspect of it quite a bit.
Yeah. I'll stay away from the parent one again. I was thinking about like Jaden's fixation on getting all these little things right. He keeps redoing the same day and this time, and he's such a perfectionist, and like he thinks that if he can do XYZ completely perfectly, which again I think can be related as with your immigrant parents being like, where's the other 5% on your 95% math test or whatever. It's very like, okay, if I do every little thing right, then I am a right person. But it's more elusive than that. It's bigger than that. It's just more about like doing something that feels right. Or is like, you know, important to your heart. So I liked that theme as well. Just Jaden learning, to stop checking boxes and just sort of really go with his heart. Yeah.
Wow, that's and it really does come together as we move towards the last episode of the series. So many things just lay out and sort of circle back, and then you say, oh yeah, all right, yeah, okay, now I got it. So that shows a really just the cycle of it shows what a successful way that you all really work together to bring this story to fruition. When we're thinking about, you know, next steps or your triumphs or your lessons for Natalie, we'll start with you. And what lessons did you learn from creating Hello Again that you would take, let's say, to your next series or your next project? And what's a golden nugget that you could share with other writers now that you've accomplished being a writer that brings your series to the screen? One of my big lessons, and I don't think I've spoken to Leaf about this, but spotlight on you. but I had, you know, you have to, when you're when you're show running and starting the room or whatever, you have to put together a schedule that you send to the network about like, when are you delivering the different stages of the script. And I had gotten this amazing Excel spreadsheet from Anthony Farrell. His is all like color coded, it's amazing. And so I was just like following his thing and I'm like, okay, we'll get like X number of days to write the outline and then X number of days to write like the first draft. So I was like so proud that I filled in this chart and then that, you know, I was giving, I think I gave the network 3 days to do like notes turnaround. And then we as a room would like get a day to like talk through the notes and then another day to like implement the notes. And then I would get it back and I get my pass, all the stuff. And in all of this little like Excel spreadsheet thing, I did not build in time to like send my pass back to the writers. And that's something that I, you know, Morwen used to do or does, did, used to do. I don't know my verb tenses. That's what something that Morwen used to do on Corner is that like she would give the notes to us as the writers. We would do our pass on it. We would pass it to the showrunner and she would do her pass. And then before she sent it up to the network, we would be able to have a quick read and be like, not that we would do another pass, but we would have a chance to read it and be like, oh, by the way, this change that you made didn't work, or you know, like this got extracted and I think we really need it. And in my haste to like meet these deadlines that I had that I had set for myself, I didn't build that into the process. And so I had done a pass on one of Leaf's scripts, sent it up, CC'd everyone. And then Leaf reached out very nicely saying, what did you do?
Oh, TV.
And yeah. I was like, oh shit. I did like, I was like, I was unthoughtful showrunner.
No, but know, like, that was,
I was, no, that was a good lesson.
That was awesome.
A good lesson to me because I was like, I knew that this was like your first writing room experience and Leonard's too. And I didn't, like, I forgot that I should have explained, like, this is what's going to happen next. And then in my explaining, I would have also then remembered I should build in time to let the writers like take a look and have like any last thoughts before you put that up. Because like you do want to make sure that the network has a chance to read the writer and feel their voice, because you want the other writers to have a chance to like build a relationship with the network so that one day they can also be like creating and showrunning their own shows.
Yeah, Natalie, that was also me being a new writer and like not knowing, like I didn't know the process at all. So you're right. Like I saw the script and I saw that it wasn't like there, you know, it wasn't exactly what I had written. So I was like, wait, did I do something wrong? You know what I mean? Like that's just also me not having the experience. So like, yeah, to build off that, if we're talking about lessons, I mean, in retrospect, I think it's kind of crazy that I emailed you at all, because it's such a normal thing. And now I know that to like have your, you know, the showrunner does a pass and that's part of the process. But yeah, anyway.
But I think as writers, it's like, it's a thing that is really hard. Like even, you know, when I see my script rewritten and I know it's going to be rewritten, there's always a part of you that's like, I put myself on the page and what, like, is this rewrite? Like, it's hard not to take it personally. And so you could either get to a point where it's like, you've done a pass, F you, it's no longer in my script, like that kind of a thing. Or you could be like, okay, what did they do that's differently? What are the things that they changed and what can I learn from it? But I think part of the process as a writer is also like, how do I hear the notes and learn from them and not take them personally? And I think it's just such a hard thing as a writer that I feel it and I've felt it and yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that just having the communication Even in the midst of all the crazy deadlines and timelines, where we're often writers like such as yourself, Natalie, and others are making a new culture or striving to make new cultures in the writer's room. So even thinking that, yeah, I want to put that time in is a change. It's and us having these types of conversations, other writers will be doing the same as much as it is possible. Because sometimes the deadline is now and nobody's waiting for anything. So you can see that the lessons all come from the actual doing. And I wonder, Leonard, is there any big lesson that you take away from your experience of writing on the series?
I mean, it's always just great to work with good people. I mean, that's not real, a real new lesson or anything, though. I mean, I knew this working in other rooms. It's just, yeah, like speaking to what Natalie said before, it's just writing is an exercise in Zen. You know, like you write it and it's gone. As soon as it leaves, email it, it's gone. You know, and it may come back completely different, but it's fine. Like that's just. You know, like you just kind of have to, you know, that's the job, right? You write the thing and the thing may not be the thing that you wanted on the page. But at the end of the day, it's a collaborative effort, right? Like we're all, you know, there's reasons why things change. And, you know, and then I think it's looking for like the note behind the note. It's always the fun little challenge, right? When they say, oh, and when you don't understand a note exactly and you're like, what is it that they really want to say here? Because you can just kind of bash your head against a wall trying to like, you know, do something that actually makes no sense because you understand the story. Then you're like, but something, obviously something, they see something that's important. So you just have to even have a conversation, figure out what that is, and then work together to get the script into a place where everybody's happy.
Yeah, conversation is a big part of it. Communication. And it sounds like the room that you all worked within and created within was one of conversation, was one of great creation because of what we now have as the series Hello Again, that is here for all time for others to watch and take their own lessons from. And Natalie, what do you hope, what impact do you hope that Hello Again has and lasting impact? What do you feel maybe it may be, or what's your vision for it?
I hope that you know, just the idea of, you know, just taking advantage of the time that you do have with the people that are in your life is a big one. And also like just we need to see more Asian men as like the romantic leads or the leads or like the objects of desire, because I think for too long there's been such like horribly racist stereotypes around Asian men that like puts them as the butt of the jokes and desexualizes them. And so I hope that shifts the conversation a little bit.
All you have to do is just cast real handsome Asian men like Alex and this problem will be solved.
How about you, Lee?
Takeaways, something that I hope people take away.
Yeah.
Oh, that they should try to make a web series. Like, I just feel like this was such an ambitious project that like was pulled off so well. Like, I think Natalie told me at one point you were shooting like 17 pages a day. And it's just, it's like, you know, if we can do it, you know, you should try to do it, because that's like how these more interesting and like experimental stories are gonna come to be seen.
So what's next? What's next for each one of you? Leonard?
Well, I'm currently on a 1 week break from a comedy tour. So I just got back from BC last night before, I don't know, time has no meaning. And then I'm heading back to BC, then we're going through Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba and all that stuff for the next 6 weeks. And then when I get back, I'm writing for the Gillers. So I'm writing all the monologues and stuff. So I got to get that done. And then I will be joyously unemployed forever.
So still writing for stage, writing for awards, and continuing the writing life, as I hear. And you, Lee?
Yeah, I mean, I have a few writing staff jobs lined up, which is enjoyable because it's work. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty new to me. So I'm enjoying being employed, and still trying to make time for personal projects. I have a short film and, you know, my own pilots and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm just happy to have a place to go.
Excellent. And Natalie, is there something next for Hello Again or for your next big project?
Well, I'm in a couple of writing rooms for other people's projects. And then I have development. I'm in development for one of mine. But I was lucky. I was very fortunate that I got the CMF Early Development Fund. I just wanted to plug that because I think it's really important that, you know, writers get development money early that is unencumbered by producers, because it really is like shows start and are the inception point for shows are from the writers. And I think it's such an important program that they're doing, and I hope that they continue doing it.
Well, I want to say thank you to each one of you, Leif, Leonard, Natalie. Congratulations to the cast, the crew, the creators, and the writers, of course, on bringing Hello Again to the screen. If you haven't watched it, make sure you do. If you have watched it, rewatch it, because there's always little things that you can catch in the second time, just like I did. So I really enjoyed it. And I just want to say congratulations to all of you once again for Hello Again. It's been great talking to you. And you have been listening to Cut To, a Writers Guild of Canada podcast. Thank you to Natalie Younglie, Leonard Chan, and Leif Ramsaran from Hello Again for this conversation. I'm Motion, and thanks for listening.